between man and God. Who is competent to be dark? Yesterday night, I put before you what is spirituality. So spirituality is to know the spirit in man and the old spirit overhead. For that, it is basic teaching given by all masters who came in the past. Those who ever met them, they gave them a demonstration of who we are, what we are. All masters, whether of the East or the West, both, first thing they gave out was, man know thyself. We are who we are conscious entities. We are in soul bodies. We have got body, we have got intellect, we have got outgoing faculties. But to know ourselves, we will have to divest ourselves of all outgoing faculties. Yes.
Master, I have to separate these a little bit so we can raise all the volume.
All right. So knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis. How to liberate ourselves from mind, outgoing faculty. As I explained to you last night, that we are conscious entities under the control of mind, mind under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are derived like anything from the outer environment. We are conscious entities, but identified with the mind, outgoing faculties, body and the world around us, so much so that we are forgotten also. So spirituality means withdrawing our conscious self from the mind, outgoing faculties and body and all around us. It is a matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself that we are carrying the factory of the man body. So the outer expression of the soul is called attention. These different departments of the body, which are sight, hearing, touch, taste and smell. These only work when our attention is with them. So if we draw our attention from these, with our open eyes we cannot see, with ears open we cannot hear. When you eat also, your attention is absorbed in something else. You don't feel any taste. So spirituality is the conscious knowing about the conscious self, which is driving this whole machinery of the body and its different departments. That is to know oneself. Social body came into being, as I told you, when the masters left the scene to keep their teachings alive. So social body came into being. So long as they are made with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit, so long as the practical people were there, people were able to derive full benefit of knowing oneself, and also that ourself which keeps us in the body controlled, and that power which controls the whole universe. For want of practical, people the same good old custom, stagnation, deterioration fallen. We forgot who we are, what we are. So we reach to the conclusion that spirituality is not bearing the different labels on the man body. We chose in which school you are learning to know oneself and to know God by self-analysis. So it is the basic teachings of all masters. When the society came into being, naturally laws were had to be made. How the society can be run without laws? The differences in the outer forms of religion is due to either narrow-mindedness, bigotry, or climatic influences, or the customs prevailing. I'll explain all this to you last night. Now the question arises, we need teachers in any subject we want to follow. You follow that the true education of the child commences from there, from the womb of the mother. Whatever thoughts of the mother are, they are impressed in the child within the womb. And then comes when he comes out of the womb, then parents, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters teach the child, their teacher. When they grow old, school teachers come up to train them, to teach them. All in the outer subjects which relate to the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, there we need somebody to guide us, those who are adept in that line. If man wants to be a wrestler, he will go to the feet of a wrestler. If a man wants to be educated, higher studies, he will go to a teacher. Similarly, any subject that we have to take, we need somebody adept in that line. Similarly, all these subjects which I refer to relate to the outgoing faculties, our body, our intellect. That we do need someone to guide us on the way, but in the way where all philosophies and their religion starts. I submitted to you last night, the word religion means really is back, leisure to bind. To bind back our soul by withdrawing from outside and contacting the controlling power which is called God into expression power within our own self. This is a subject where also we need somebody who is adept that way. Call him by any name you like. When outer pursuits, we do need somebody. Why not in a case which starts by rising above body consciousness? And the first step is there. How to withdraw from outside, how to rise above body consciousness, how to have a leap into the beyond, and what to do thereafter. Do we not need anybody? It's a matter for common sense to decide. Now in the terminology of the saints, the word teacher, the word guru, the word master, these things are used there. They say without a guru nothing can be done, can be no problem. Now I have to dwell on this subject. Who is a guru? Who can guide us both ways in the worldly affairs too? And how to rise above body from the objective side into the subjective side? Rise above body consciousness to transcend into the beyond. And also guide us further in that place. So even if you have to learn that teaching of the master which they gave, there must be somebody who is adept that way. So what the masters have been defining, this word guru or teacher or master, I will quote you from different masters what they thought about it and what we are taking it to be. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your guru? And he said, Shabad is my guru. So what is Shabd? Shabd, God is a Shabd. God is wordless. When it came to being, it is called Shabd or word. The Shabd stands for the power, which God into special power, which is maker of all creation and controlling all creation and permeating all creation. So that power is the true guru. Which controls all universe, also controls us in the body. This is what Guru Nanak said. Then came up Kabir. He says, I have been sent from God to bring you back home. He does not say, I am God. I am the messenger. Prophet Muhammad also had to say the same thing. So all others, they say they are the messenger who know the way back to God and have been authorized to take you back home. So 10th Guru was asked, who is your guru? I simply quote these things to you so that this word guru or teacher or master, what it does it stand for and what are his qualifications. He says that the one who existed before this world came into being, when he came to expression, that God into expression power is my guru.
God into expression power is my
guru. He has quoted his previous birth also, referred to previous birth. That place has been found even now. He says, I was there, past birth. I was so much absorbed in God and so much in that intoxication that I would not like to leave that place, and God ordered me to come to the world.
God ordered me to.
I said, God, what will I do? Because my mind did not like to come up here. But I was ordered, then asked me what to do. He said, most of the people that I have sent to the world, they have only worshipped, God worshipped their own selves rather than me. Now Christ came, he always referred to the Father who has sent him. He said, I am the Son of God. That's right, I am sent by God, you see. Well, Kabir also said, I am the messenger of God. Prophet Muhammad also said the same thing. He says, who I am? He says, I am the servant of God and servant of you all. I am sent here to see what is going on in the world below. So take me as your helper, as your, what you say, to help you way back to God. So I am sent by God. I am not the God. Then he gave very strong admonition, because that was the custom. You see, generally, we take those people who came here, they take as God. He says, whosoever tells me that I am God, he will go to hell. So that you avoid those people from misunderstanding that the people have got at large. So you will find that God, into expression power, which is controlling all universe and controlling us in the body too, as I submitted yesterday. This is a wonderful house in which we live in.
House in which we live in.
There are so many apertures in this body, but we cannot run away out of it. That keeps us controlled in the body.
But
so body works so long as we are in the body. We leave this body only when that power leaves us.
Power
leaves. So we have to leave the body.
Out of the body, but not otherwise.
So, wherever that resides in every heart, but in which he is manifest, overflowing, he is called a guru, he is called a master. He will become the mouthpiece of that power working through him. As Guru Nanak said, I am the mouthpiece of God.
Mouthpiece of God.
Christ said, I am only giving you what the Father has told you to do. Go back home.
The Father has told
me. We do have respect for all these, you see.
Respect
who can unite us with God?
Because they are on
the... There is no father, no brother, no parents. But that God into expression power, where it is manifested, given a commission to bring back the children back to home, that is him addressed as a guru or a master. So for that reason, what is the criterion of such a man? He will only withdraw your soul, your attention of the soul from all outside, and from the body below, bring it to the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, and there he connects you with the God into expression power, the two phases of which is light and sound. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Thy whole body shall be
full. Who withdraw your attention from outside?
Withdraw your attention from the outside, from the world.
Hello, Tanya.
Yes.
Please don't speak into the phone while Master is speaking.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I enable to hear that God into expression power, which is sound principle going on in the world, which is music of the spheres, which is called Nada, which is called Kalam-e-Kareem, who makes that sound audible to you, is called a master. Paltu says, when you in the body from above, who that withdraws your attention, soul from the body, and gives you contact with that hearing of that Nada, the voice of God, is a guru. Then what brings you in contact of the sound? He says, he open your inner ears to hear the sound principle reverberating in all creation, resembling like a bell. Now you see, in our outer worship, we light the candles, we ring the bells. In our churches, temples, mosques, they are made after the manner of man body, and there they put in those symbols, two symbols of light and sound, to show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating within you. Withdraw your attention from outside and hear that sound coming from the heaven. That you cannot hear that light, you cannot see, unless you are down from outside and rise above body consciousness. The one who is competent to give you this contact of the two aspects of the God into expression power is called a guru. The word guru means who removes the dark veil from your before your eyes and manifests the light of God. That light of God and sound has different stages. according to the densities of the planes beyond. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. Just think for a moment what I am placing before you. What is the terminology of the saints means guru or master? So, all masters say like that. That's not only the thing what you should see. So, guru, what is it? He is the world made flesh. It's a link between man and God. Who is competent to withdraw our attention, which is the outer expression of our soul, from all outside, from the body below, give you a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness, and give you a contact with the light and sound principle within you, and you bear testimony that you see light. You bear testimony that the sound principle is going on. Who can do that? Then they shall tell us what? Don't believe in the words of a guru or a master unless you see for your own self. You bear testimony that they are light. They sound principle. So these are the things which are all masters said. You know, Christ also said that I must work the work of him that has sent me. While it is day, the word marked the day. Day means alive. And the night cometh when no man can do anything. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is that the word from St. John? Really? I mean to say, to place before you, what the people are were in great misapprehension, what this word guru or master stands for. It is something who himself rises above body consciousness and makes you rise above it, gives you a demonstration of it, and you bear testimony, you are not the body. You bear testimony, and these things are given in our scriptures. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. These symbols are kept in the temples, churches, other holy places of worship, after the model of man body, that such like light is within you and such like sound is vibrating within you. So, the same has been said by all masters when they came in one social body or the other. Such like masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their father's home. Who is competent to raise our attention from all outside, raise us from the body below, open our inner eye, and we testify their light inside. That's the lowest grade, of course, but that will grow more and more as your eyes above planes. There are many mentions in the house of my Father. Others say macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have been given bodies to work in those planes. We are now working in the physical body. The light is covered by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers. You see, the light is not there, but as you shake off one cover, you see some light. If you shake the other cover, there's still more light. If all covers are shaken off, you see full light. Those who see the full light, he is called a khalsa, he is called a true Sikh. Those who see that light, he is called the truly a Hindu. Those who see that light, that is truly called a Muslim. And those who see that light, they are called true Christian. Not by the outer labels that we are carrying of one religion or social body or the other. By joining that, it means we have joined certain school of thought to see the light of God. That school is creditable. It turns out many students like that successful. So all masters, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us till the end of the world. But so long that power works as the human pole, he guides all child humanity. As I just quoted, they have to work when it is day, when I am alive. When the night comes, nobody can work. So I am so long as I am in the body, I am the light of the world. This is all on the master certificate. So this generation goes on from posterity to posterity. That's the system of God, you see. This work is carried on. At one place, you remember, Christ said, well, I will send that Holy Ghost to guide you further later on in the world. So world made flesh is the Guru. You see? Who is conscious of that power working through him. He knows what has been given, what Christ and others say. He says, I am doing that work which has God has told me, my Father has told me to do. They've got some plan before them. They see and then say. So this thing goes on, you see. Demand and supply, neem goes on. One bulb is fused, another is put on. Light is the same. That light, world made flesh, never leaves you. Here and hereafter too. So all masters tell us, all I take to the feet of somebody who is God, who is a guru in that sense of the word. Not, we are also, you see, respect all those teachers which give us, at whose feet we do learn so many things out of. We have respect for them. But this is something which starts where the world philosophy ends. When you rise above what you say outgoing faculties, your mind is still. There the religions are. Religion means three means back, lead you to bind. Like yoga. Yoga means to join your soul with God. God into special power mind that, not God absolute. God expression power is the way back to absolute God. That has got two aspects, light and sound. You catch, can ride on the ray of the sun, where will it lead you? Lead you to the place from where, sun, from where it emanated. So all masters say the world made flesh. I and my Father are one. The world was with God and the world was God. You see, all creation came into the world. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All these are quoting from Bible and others too. What is Naam, our word, our kalma? Naam is a place, or Shabd is a place, from where all this emanated, this creation of the world came into being. And when dissolution comes, this just results into that, again new world begins. So that power is God word, or Naam, or Shabd. With the mouthpiece of that power, he is truly respecting, we can derive full benefit from him by his presence. Guru Amar Das, for 70 long years, after search for God, he came to the feet of such a master. He said, it is a very great fortune that I met with such a living master. Of course, it is a great blessing to have a living master. So, this is, what is the job, you see, generally? Kabir says, these men, two appear to be two, God, man, God in man, and that power, God into expression. In appearance, they appear to be two, but the other is the mouthy of the first one. So, all masters say like that. Mara Rum says, the God sent us to the world He came himself into the world, took the form of a man. He has sealed our eyes and ears there so that may not see and may not hear. Here he comes in the form of a man and takes up those seals from our eyes and our ears. This is what Christ also said, all the said. I have come to make those who do not see, see. These are the terms, you see, that can be understood when you are sit at the feet of some practical master. The basic teachings of all has been the same. And when you meet such a master, he never leaves you. Here and hereafter. So what do they do? First of all, to raise you up from the man body and from all outside. Give you a demonstration of that, how to rise up a body conscious, how to open the single eye within you and see the light of God, and you bear testimony to it. So such light, they open your ear to have, hear the sound, the voice, the music of the spheres, the nada. He opens the seal from your eyes, opens your inner eye, single eye, when thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now I hope you'll follow what I mean to say. In the outside world we need some teacher. We are respectful to them, whatever we learn at their feet, but all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or intellect. And in a subject which starts, the ABC of which starts when you rise above body consciousness, when the world flashes with end, there the religion starts, remains back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot, we are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. This morning our reader is Tanya Franklin. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes, I am, John. Thank you very much.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. We begin with an invocation to Sant Kripal Singh Ji Maharaj. We humbly await your presence into your satsang, that you bless us with your presence. I begin today's reading from an excerpt from Master's book, The Teachings of Kripal Singh. Master's love springs eternal. It is not the inner experience which determines the spiritual progress, but the basic personal attitude of serene living of the child disciple, which proves his or her worth. And I continue from the same book, page 72, self-introspection, spiritual practices. And the heading is meditation. Spiritual practices form an essential part in the spiritual aspirant's life and should therefore be a daily must. The repetition of the five charged sacred words, the names conveyed at the time of holy initiation, orally or mentally, is not a difficult task and carries a deep meaning. Although it looks so simple and easy at the outset, to obtain proficiency in it, one needs extra love and fortitude. You will appreciate that the holy names carry the life impulse of the Master, which works wonders in withdrawing the sensory currents from the body level up to the eye focus, thus preparing the soul for the eventual inner journey on the regions onto the regions of bliss and harmony. Certain hours for meditation should therefore be fixed, set apart, and pursued regularly and earnestly for each. Such repast brings in nourishment to the soul, and one is led within to the divine light, which dispels the darkness of ignorance. It is like purifying the receptive vessel every day for receiving the divine grace. Daily meditations clear the gross dross that one gets at the sensuous level. The second important part of meditation is listening to the sound current, the holy sound current, the audible life stream coming from the right side. It is equally an important aspect of the spiritual practices and should not be ignored or lost sight of. After initiation, it is the disciple's duty to enrich his spiritual experiences from day to day, and he can certainly extend his field with the grace of the Master to any length he may like, opening up new vistas of sublime glory and beatitude. In short, self-introspection helps in cutting the branches and pruning all that is undesirable, while meditation, spiritual practices, strike at the very stem of the tree of worldly life. God is everywhere, but he is not manifested everywhere. Why? Because our soul, that spark of the all consciousness, is under the control of mind and senses. And through its sojourn in creation has become the image of the body and the image of the world, thereby forgetting its true self. It must just know itself. Then it can have the experience of the over-self. If it does not rise above body consciousness, how can God be manifested? Do you understand this? He resides with you. The body is the true temple of God. When you have understood this, then where do you go to find him? First, within your own self. Withdraw from outside. Withdraw from the mind and the outgoing faculties, and come up to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes. When you concentrate there, your inner eye will be open to see God within you. The Master exhorts us to realize him in our souls, to rise in him, losing all sense of the little ego in the living temples of our bodies. The kingdom of God is within us. We have to recognize the inner man as the image of God, the physical body as the temple of God, the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost in which the Lord makes his appearance. In these living temples, we have to attune our souls with God and live in closer communication with him. Many do say that they are soul, a conscious entity, indweller of the human form, but have they come to prove it and thereby know it in truth? This is my watch. I can place it there. These are my spectacles. I can take them off and put them here. I can take off my clothes whenever I wish to. But can I become separate from my body? Can I take my body off? It is a question of how to rise above by self-analysis. And who can give a demonstration of this scientific method? By the Guru's grace, you come to know yourself. Only then can it happen, and not before. When you know yourself, then like knows the like, and God realization is the next step. So God cannot be known by the senses, intellect, or pranas. Only soul can experience the Lord. And this can happen only after it has come to know itself. To know ourselves is not a matter of feelings, emotions, or drawing inferences. It is really one of rising above body consciousness by self-analysis to know practically who we are. When we know ourselves and come in conscious contact with the all-conscious God that is the bread and water of life for the soul, all worldly information and outer sciences, the libraries are full of them. If our brain becomes full of them, well, it is not bread to the soul. It is bread and water for the intellect to grow on. So the bread and water of life for the soul is the conscious contact with God or the overself. These things are to be understood and then lived. By speaking about bread, your hunger cannot be appeased, but you must have bread to eat. That is why Christ said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life. Partaketh of it. He is the bread of life, of course. He also says, eat me and drink me. What to eat? He is word made flesh. The more you come in contact with and devour that word, the light and sound within you, the more you will be eating of the bread of life. All imperfections will leave you, just as when you sit by a fire, all cold leaves you. By hearing the sound current, you become the abode of all virtues. By hearing, you can determine the direction in which you have to go. By seeing, your inner eye is opened to see where you are going. Pity it is that we give little time to these things and only waste away our time in trifling things. I would say, so put in more time, please, to your practices. Develop love for God within you. You will be blessed. You will have made the best use of your life. Concentration of spirit current. The development of the elementary powers of spirit is therefore most necessary. It is the concentration of this spirit current which plays the greatest part in the achievement. If it is applied to the physical body, one gains strength. If it dwells upon the intellect, one develops great mental powers. In the same way, if spirit is made the object of concentration, spiritual life inevitably follows and supreme bliss is attained. There is an unseen nerve that connects all these centers, which is called Sushama Nadi or Shag Rag. It is through this that the spirit current passes from the lowest region to that of the highest region of truth. The concentration of the spirit, then, is the opening process so that the spirit may progress to higher regions. Until all outgoing faculties are self-centered or inwardly focused, the spirit does not gain strength enough to go up. There are 10 outgoing faculties or indriyas. 5 are the gross, ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin, through which the 5 others, the subtle indriyas of sight, audition, smell, taste, and touch, keep man attached to the outer world. It would thus appear that it is the constant thought of these faculties which externalizes man. We constantly think of the world through 3 main sources. First, we have the eyes that visualize the outward phenomena and bring them within the mental gaze. Through the eyes, we gather in no less than 83% of our impressions from outside. The second source is that of the ears, which pull our attention to outward sounds and remind us of the things in the objective world. Through the ears, we get 14% of our outer impressions. The third source is that of the tongue, palate, through which taste and speech keeps the memory of the outward world always fresh. The remaining 3% of the outward impressions are received through the nose and the rest of the sense organs. It is through these 3 main faculties that man remains constantly in touch with the outer world and is ever engaged either in receiving impressions from without or impressing others with his own thoughts. The energy of the mind is thus drained away, leaving one bankrupt. The Master tells us not to exhaust our energy. We must accumulate and preserve our energy so that we may be able to rend asunder the various sheaths of matter which encase the self within us. The spirit, our soul, is attached to the objective world outside on account of objective impressions, unless the outgoing faculties are controlled and the spirit is freed from the bondage of life. It cannot rise above body consciousness. The 3 faculties of speech or taste, sight and audition, cause a constant outflow of energy through their respective sense organs. For the depersonalization of the soul, it is necessary to channelize our energy inwards and upwards through the process of inversion and self-analysis. The organs of tongue, eyes, and ears, etc., are at work in the physical frame while one is in a wakeful state, and they work likewise in the astral plane when one is in a dream state. The faculties of these organs get enhanced and become powerful if one were to restrict their outward flow. It is then that one gains strength to fathom the subjective world. For without the quickening life impulse of the soul, they lie dormant. Uses of the 3 restraints and their processes. The 3 restraints are to be exercised by training the faculties to work inwards. The first restraint, that of speech, consists in doing Simran, or the constant repetition of the names of the Lord with the tongue of thought. The agency of lips and tongue is not needed. The second restraint refers to the faculty of sight and consists in contemplation of the spiritual patterns within, which open out in full effulgence. When you fix your inner gaze just midway between and between the 2 eyebrows, the seat of the soul in man, you see your own light inside. That light is yours and is already there, and you have to fix your inner gaze on it. Where there is the word, holy nam, there is light. Where there is sound, there is refulgence, and the two are inseparable. The light patterns are of five kinds, corresponding to the five different kinds of sounds, which are seen and heard as the spirit ascends upwards into the five different planes. The Manduk Upanishads speaks of these as the five fires in the head. It does not mean that we are to neglect the use of these organs in relation to the outer world, but these are to be so trained that they may become positive aids in the way of spiritual development, thus conveying a twofold benefit. The training is meant to make the mind self-centered and prevent its stuff from needlessly flowing outside. The first process, Simran, forms the basis of spiritual pursuit. It has to be continued till the goal is reached. The second and third, Dayan and Bhajan, follow by themselves, one after the other. These three restraints help in concentration to the highest degree. The first Simran of the charged words given by the Master brings back the mind from outside and withdraws the spirit from the body to the seat of the soul in the body. This is first sinking from the circumference of our being to the center of our being. This also keeps reminding us of the highest ideal set up before man, which is self-knowledge and God-knowledge. The second process, Dayan, also helps in concentration and fastens the soul inside. The last process, Bhajan, or listening to the spiritual music in man, carries the soul into the beyond, to the source from whence the life current or sound principle of the Holy Nam, or the eternal song, emanates. Meditation. O man, thou hast come into the world to make a profitable business of dealing with the merchandise of Nam, which never fails. But alas, thou art engaged in fruitless and bewildering things of life. The night of earthly life is nearing its end. Those who do not reach the shore now, how can they cross when dead? Harinam is the essence of all religions. All religions are deeply rooted in the Nam. Verily, verily, the true study of Nam, which is the bread of life. He who knows how to die while living drinks Amrit, the water of life, which gives everlasting life. Therefore, learn to die while living at the feet of a living master. My master, Baba Sawan Singh, instilled in me that we do really live when we are in contact with Nam, the word, which can be given by one who is word made flesh living on earth. Without that, there is no life. Very great and all-powerful is the Nam controlling us in the body. We cannot live without its shelter, even for a moment. Time and tide wait for no man. Please do hurry before it is too late. July 17, 1970. Meditation. The importance of meditation, continuing on page 83 of Master's book, The Teachings of Kirpal Singh. Whenever the mind has clear understanding and is inclined toward God, then Quickly sit down for meditation. Do not wait for tomorrow. Do not wait even a few hours, or his mood will change, and again, he will cheat you out of the benefit. No matter what you are doing, when mind and soul are one, sit in meditation at once. Who knows what will happen in the next minute? Such an ideal mood is rare and valuable. There should be no delaying to take advantage. The light of life is in you. Indeed, you live by that very light, whether you realize it or not. Each one of you has had an experience of that holy light. Now you must live in constant contact with the holy light. It is uncreated and shadowless, eternally the same and peerless. The whole creation came into being by the same light, and that very light is shining in every heart. All are divine in nature, and religion is the expression of divinity already existing in man. The light of life must be made manifest in existence. Be ye a witness to the light of light, a witness to the light of life, not only within yourself, but in others as well. For the same light shineth everywhere, and there is no place where it is not. Once you discover this light and learn to live by it, your whole existence will be changed. Love will permeate your very being, and it will burst forth from every pore of your body, transmitting all dross into sterling gold. Love, you must know, is both the means and the goal of life. Love, light, and life are but different facets of the one divinity. Try to become a channel for the divine and the divinity that will flow through you. This is not something impossible, but it is the very acme of all human endeavors. In this world of matter, one has of necessity to deal with matter. We have to make the most of the material raiment and the material world given to us. It serves a great purpose in the divine plan of evolution. Matter is the ladder by which means the spirit has to rise above body consciousness and move into the realm beyond, the realm of spirituality, its native habitat. Learn to make the most of the means given to you, and surely as day follows night, the victory shall be yours. A true Christian ought to take up his cross daily. The cross represents the physical body standing with outstretched arms. You have to rise above body consciousness. You have to be reborn into the kingdom of God. The disciple must know how to die daily so as to be able to enjoy life eternal, beyond time and space. Cimarron and Dijon, which is meditation, flood the spirit with the waters of life. Spirit comes to its own, rises in its latent godhood, and like a tumultuous mountain stream, rushes headlong toward the ocean of life, which is its perennial source, and merges therein, losing its separate identity. A true master is not a mere human being, but has become one with God, and as such contains in himself the powers of all the gods and goddesses. He is veritably the Word made flesh and blood. The one lesson that such a master teaches his disciples is to meditate always upon the Lord, the creator of everything, and never forget him. Be the worshiper of the living light. Become a slave to it. Do not attach yourself to anything else, for everything is changeable. The masters say, stop where you are. Look at your condition. It is all through the lack of meditation, and the only cure is to join the soul back to the Lord. Even a little intoxication derived from steady daily practice will start to erase the taste for outer pleasures. These outer attractions are making it extremely difficult for the mind to withdraw and go inward. If we start to enjoy inner sweetness, when that sweetness comes, this other flavor is not to the liking. Naturally, the sweeter taste will render others insipid. The cause of all our distress can be traced to the fact that we have not been drenched in the true color of numb. But if the soul does not learn to leave the body at will and has not derived intoxication from being drenched in the color of numb, no amount of speech or action will achieve success on the spiritual path. Remember this fact, for it is clear and simple. Listen. Open your ears and listen. He who has made his meditation has made everything. He whose meditation is not made will enjoy no meaning in his life's achievements. There is great purpose behind this emphasis on the importance of meditation. If your daily life is not under control, try to bring it in control or give more time to meditation, and you will be able to gain control quicker. He who becomes the conscious co-worker of the divine plan will find that his righteous life is made. Whatever he does will be performed righteously. He will not be able to act otherwise. The reason behind your failure is that you have not truly loved your master, but have merely made a show in various ways, physically and financially, or by lip service. There is no one who has sacrificed his mind to the guru. Without giving up his mind, there is no success. When will you actually experience the fact that you and he are not separate and not different? When you separate yourself from matter by self-analysis, you can try by feelings or through inferences, but both are subject to error. Seeing is above all. When can one see oneself or the soul in its native clarity? Control the senses, still the mind and intellect. When the soul is seen in all its glory, he who knows himself and knows he is the mouthpiece of God, that God is working through him, he is free from illusion. Great power arises from such a condition. Do your bhajan and simran. Release the soul from mind and senses. Bhajan and simran are food for the soul. Do not give food to the body without first giving food to the soul. Learn how to leave the body at will and transcend into the upper regions. If so, we will benefit in two ways. First, we will know how to leave the body, as we have learned to do so daily. And when death comes, there will be no pain and no fear. That is the finish of this reading, and we can all give our love and our mind and souls to God. Thank you, Divine Father. We love you. Thank you.
Tanya, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute. So today there were 67 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this satsang for us. Now please hang up your phone.